clear that the bill moves in the trajectory of letting people keep more of their own money. So families, regardless of the state you live in, are going to see more money in their paychecks.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. I'm sure most, if not all of us, have heard about the new tax reform bill recently passed by the U.S. Congress and signed into law by President Donald Trump on December 22nd. Well, if you're like me, you've had a pretty difficult time filtering through all the news reports and, frankly, the talking points that have been put forth by politicians, political parties, and advocacy groups. Today, we're fortunate to be speaking with Andrew Guernsey, a legislative assistant for government affairs with the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., about the real effects of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Andrew, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you on the show, and I appreciate you helping us make sense of this somewhat complex matter.
Great to speak with you today.
Now, Andrew, what are the biggest short-term changes that the average American family can expect to see from this national tax reform bill?
One of the biggest changes for families is the increase of the child tax credit. And the child tax credit is something every family can get if they have a child under 17, and the bill doubles it to $2,000 for each qualifying child under 17. So that's a huge benefit for families who have to suffer some of the hardships of the economy to have finally a bit of a boost. So that's one of the main reasons why families, I think, can look forward to this tax bill's implementation this year. Another big thing is the elimination of marriage penalties. The bill gets rid of a lot of the marriage penalties that are in the tax code when it comes to the income brackets, which marriage penalties often will make it so that if you get married, you have to pay a higher tax bill. And the Republican caucus looking at that said, look, marriage and family stability is something that we ought to encourage as a vehicle of helping families flourish rather than penalize.
Now, was there an across-the-board tax cut? Also, when should families start to see the impact of these changes in their weekly or monthly paychecks?
Absolutely. So this is an across-the-board tax cut. Nearly every person will benefit in some way from the provisions in the tax bill, with a few exceptions. But the paychecks, the increases to that, you'll start seeing, you know, as early as February this year. Some have already started to see it. Once employers process the guidance from the IRS on how much to withhold in the paycheck, we're already seeing those changes, and hopefully all your listeners here will start to see those changes as early as the next couple weeks.
Well, very good, and that's exciting, and I want to encourage our listeners to pay attention to your paycheck stubs and note when those tax cuts become effective and you start seeing a real implication in your pocketbook. It's very important to understand that the actions that Congress takes definitely do have an impact directly on us. Now, Andrew, tax benefits are often tricky to calculate because each family situation is different depending upon things like income, geography, which state they live in, that sort of thing, the number of children in the family, and you talked about the child tax credit, and also an individual's investment portfolio and other factors. Do you consider the changes made by this legislation to be mostly good, mostly bad, or kind of a mixed bag for American families?
I'm confident it's mostly good for families, and there's a couple reasons why. I mentioned the child tax credit is one thing. It also includes a new child and dependent care credit of $500 for dependents. That's a true credit so that people taking care of an elderly grandparent or, you know, an older child who can't qualify for the child tax credit can benefit from that fact that they're paying for a lot of these dependent care expenses. So that's a big win for helping keep the family structure incentivized together. It's also great that the bill provides and keeps the adoption tax credit in current law that helps families open their hearts and homes for a forever family for an adopted child, and that's an important provision that they retained in the bill. It's about near the $1,300 range in current law of what families can get in a credit for those high cost expenses that go along with adoption. But it's so great to see that a lot of these pro-family provisions were retained in the bill and improved in many cases. We also saw, it's true that families will be impacted by the loss of the personal exemptions, but that's folded into a larger standard deduction. So they're doubling the standard deduction for, which means that if you're married, you're now going to get a $2,400 deduction, which is quite a boost compared to current law, so that that's more money in your pocket, which you can use to help, you know, families keep care of their young ones. And that's something I think we can celebrate.
Well, that's great, and I think we'll certainly dig into this a little bit during our conversation, but some of the things that you mentioned, I know, were areas of significant concern throughout the negotiations of this tax cut proposal or bill that ultimately passed, as it was a proposal in both the House and the Senate. I know that we heard from constituents that were concerned about the things that you mentioned, the child tax credit, the adoption tax credit, other things like that being significantly impacted, and not in a positive way, but ultimately it seems like most of what happened and most of the concerns that were expressed about those things were addressed. Now, some of the effects of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act can differ pretty substantially from state to state. Do you have a sense of how North Carolina families will fare, say, compared to families in other states across the country?
For sure. So the state does impact, the state you live in does impact whether and to what extent you benefit from some of the changes that the law provides. I speak specifically about the deductions for state and local taxes. The final bill allows people and families to deduct up to $10,000 in state and local taxes, property taxes, and or sales taxes. You choose the combination to fill up your $10,000 deduction tank. So that change will no doubt impact some higher income earners in more liberal states that have high tax rates. But if you look at in the context of the bill also cutting tax rates, in fact, lowers the highest tax rate income bracket that would have more of the bigger impact of SALT, which is the state and local taxes, it's clear that the bill moves in the trajectory of letting people keep more of their own money, and the vast majority of income earners across the board are going to see those cuts. So families, regardless of the state you live in, are going to see more money in their paychecks.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Now, we heard critics throughout the process claim that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act only benefits businesses and the most wealthy Americans and really could potentially harm the middle and lower income families. How did FRC respond to these claims?
Well, a lot of that is based on the talking points, you know, that we've seen from the other side, that for the longest time they were saying, you know, the sky is going to fall, some people are going to die. You know, there was a lot of rhetoric yeah. on the other side about how damaging letting people keep more of their money would be. But it's good to see now that, you know, now that people have started to see the bonuses roll out, they've started to see now, starting just at the beginning, have seen people keep more of the money in their paycheck so they can, you know, provide for their families. I think this, it's already sort of mitigating sort of that narrative you referred to that, oh, this is just a cut for the 1%. But in reality, also, it benefits a lot of small businesses with a pass-through deduction. That's a brand new, extremely important provision, because a lot of people, you know, businesses, small businesses, they'll file their taxes for their business on their individual returns. And the fact that they were cutting the individual return rate and the corporate income taxes down to 20%, or rather 21%, allows this pass-through deduction so that people who, you know, small businesses that use that file on their individual tax rates can get a deduction so that they're not penalized because they're not a corporation. So I think it's important, the bill provides important ways to sort of level the playing field and reduce those loopholes that allow the big corporations to benefit, and in fact passes those benefits, many of them, along to people in the middle class, families, and small businesses.
Oh, very good. What does the bill do with respect to education savings?
That's one of my favorite less talked about provisions in the bill. I'm glad you mentioned it. What it does is it allows 529 education savings accounts to be expanded from what currently can only be used for college tuition and graduate school tuition to now being able to be used for families for elementary or secondary, public, private, and religious schools. So what this means concretely is that you can start contributing to your child's, not just their college education through a tax-benefited 529 savings account, but also for your kids' K-12 expenses. So you can tap into those funds earlier and help promote school choice. And this is also key in a lot of states that provides huge benefits at the state income tax level. So there's many states across the country that'll provide tax credits and deductions in your state taxes based on how much you contribute to your child's now college, but now K-12 education. So that's a big win across the country.
Now, I know that there were a number of groups, nonprofits among them, and this is an issue that we were looking at quite closely because it certainly could impact organizations like the Family Research Council and like the North Carolina Family Policy Council. And that is the concern that the bill could have a negative impact on charitable giving. Talk about that a little bit, if you would.
I'm glad you bring it up because, you know, no bill's perfect, and often there are unintended consequences of a lot of policy changes here. And one of those that we were concerned about was the, you know, increase in the standard deduction by twice. So now it's $24,000 for married couples. That often incentivizes a lot of people who would otherwise be getting that deduction for charitable giving now to become non-itemizers and to start taking the standard deduction. So we are urging Congress, in addition to the legislation already passed, to consider bills like the Universal Charitable Giving Act, which would allow an above-the-line deduction, and other, you know, means like this to try to, you know, mitigate some of the impact where fewer people itemizing will result in potentially less giving. But its only way to see is what comes in the next year as far as how people behave in response to the tax bill. We're hopeful, and we want to encourage people to take more of the money you keep in your paycheck and consider supporting, you know, many of those organizations that are instrumental in trying to protect life and family and other those things we care about.
Well, certainly those charitable deductions for many, and we've just come through the end of the year, which for many charitable organizations is a big time because people are really trying to limit their tax exposure and in doing that, balance their giving to charitable organizations to maximize the charitable giving that they do. So it will be interesting to see what kind of impact this has on giving, but we certainly want to encourage our supporters and certainly expect that they will continue to give generously to the efforts of groups like the Family Policy Council and the Family Research Council and other organizations that work for things that they believe in. And finally, Andrew, does the law include what you would consider to be any long-term changes to our national tax policy that American families need to be aware of in the coming years?
That's a great question. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act actually, unfortunately, due to Senate rules, was only able to extend the individual tax cuts through the year 2025, which is about 7 years from now. So either then they're going to have a decision whether they will continue or make permanent the cuts to the individual rates, so your average tax bracket, or whether to change those. So that's going to be up to future Congress or this Congress if they can develop a bipartisan consensus to make those cuts to the individual rate permanent. So we would definitely want to pay attention when it gets closer to 2025 to make sure, you know, that everyone plans accordingly to stay on top of where the political scene is at. But at the same time, I think once people see the impact it's going to have on their lives to keep more of their money in their paychecks, they're not going to want to elect members of Congress who are going to jack up their individual rates. So that's something to keep aware of in the long-term future, but I think this is a big win for the American people.
Well, great. And so, Andrew, before we depart our conversation today, where can our listeners go to learn more about this particular act, but also about the great work of the Family Research Council?
If you go to frc.org, you can find everything Family Research Council has to offer. Put all of our publications online, so you can go check it out. We have a piece up that I wrote on the new tax bill and how it helps and affects families. But, log in on FRC and sign up for our emails, and we were happy to keep track of you, of what Congress is doing and how you, the listeners, can make an impact by calling your congressman and staying abreast of these things.
Well, with that, Andrew Guernsey, I want to thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters and for helping to bring clarity to a complex but very important issue. And we are so grateful again for all of the wonderful work that Family Research Council does in our nation's capital.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.